Good evening, everyone, and welcome to the F1 India podcast, where we bring you the latest news and help spread the awareness of the sport across the country and the globe. I am your host, Brandon DeCosta, and today we are here for the Quali Day. On our panel, we have Arvind, we have Tanay, Aniket, Mihir. So before beginning the podcast today, I'd like to keep a moment and a minute of silence for Ayrton Senna and Roland, since we have the death anniversaries today, and Roland was a couple of days back. So we keep a minute of silence for them, as they are one of the F1 legends. Right, so moving on to our Quali Day podcast from Portimão, Portugal. Quite of a roller coaster ride the circuit is, and we had one hell of a Quali Day with I must say not an unorthodox front row lockout with the two Mercedes hanging out there. So talking about Q1, which was kind of a shock to everyone, watching Daniel Ricciardo getting knocked out on P16. McLaren proved to be one of the fastest on the grids and a true contender for P3 on the championship. Tanay, what are your thoughts of Daniel Ricciardo actually getting knocked out and, you know, not being able to put his car where his team wanted him to?
Yes, I think it was very unfortunate for Daniel for ending up in Q1 only. Traffic, as I said, and some problems with the engine. Also, he was not able to manage his tires properly, as we all saw that many of the drivers were going for two warm-up laps instead of one, so that just they could get the tires up to the right temperature. And some problems with the engine, I heard over his radio that he was some problem with the EC2 component of his engine, stuck in a bit of traffic, unfortunate. And I think an important factor here playing was wind. There was quite a lot of wind speed there, plus all the ups and downs of the Portimão track. It affected a lot because of the winds. So that was, I think, a reason why Danny ended in Q1 only. And apart from Danny, I was also shocked to see Stroll ending up in Q1 only, and his teammate going a little further. And apart from Stroll, has the usual suspects. No suspense and no. I mean, it's a
right. I totally agree. Yeah, I totally agree. And actually, Stroll getting his upgrades onto his car, kind of didn't prove to be a advantage for him. Don't you think, Aniket?
Yes, because Lance Stroll was said to use the updated specification of the car, and what happened was, they said like it will maximize their lap pace by 0.5 to 0.4 per seconds per lap. But instead, what happened? Sebastian Vettel got into Q3 directly. But Lance, update on the Lance Stroll's car.
I totally agree, because the last time Vettel qualified was back in 2020 in the British Grand Prix, when he qualified for Q3, and we'll come to that point soon. But kind of focusing on on the Haas and the Williams, they weren't kind of a big shock, but the Williams kind of had a quali and a race pace advantage over the Alphas and the Haases. But Latifi actually couldn't make it through. Any thoughts on that, Mihir? Could Latifi had given the new Williams car of 2021 and all the upgrades, which actually proved faster than last year, could he have done something extra to get into Q2?
Yes, as per I saw what I saw today, he could have put up a good lap. Like, I felt that he was not at his 100%. He could have done better to get out of Q1 and progress to Q2. But yes, he probably might have mixed up in traffic or something. But
right.
Yeah. And Williams always tend to struggle with Alphas and Haases. So
what could have happened was in Q2 when the last minutes, the last few seconds, participants were completing their lap. The interesting person at P10 was Gasly, and George Russell was P11. So if George could have done a better lap, means he always extracts 100% from the Williams car. But if he would have done more, I think we would have seen Gasly out of Q3, because that could have been a surprise.
Right. And adding to that, actually, Gasly improved his lap time in the last minute to qualify for Q3, because he reported a mechanical problem with his car. And George Russell, as usual, amazingly put in a flying lap, and he put in and gave us in 100% because he's known as Mr. Saturday. And, so it was all hanging by a thread there. And Gasly was at the end of it, and he took the advantage. So, at the end of the day, Gasly qualified for Q3. But actually, when you look at Q2, the Alfa Romeos also, compared to last race in Imola, we saw both the Alphas get knocked out, but they've made improvements in their race, in their quali pace. And we also have Arif with us today on the panel. So Arif, any thoughts on that?
For Q2, when you can see the fastest speed trap, the both Alphas were on the third and the fourth pitch, something at 313 kilometers per hour. So I can see, and again, right, no doubt Raikkonen is age a legend. We all know that. Even at the age of 40, driving like a age of 23-year-old. So we can feel that they had a good, they really had a good, great pace, and hope we will see some good results from him. You never know. Again, Kimi can do that thing he did last year by starting from lower and getting so much higher in the first lap. So let's see for the best for the guy.
Right. Arvind, you'd like to add anything to that?
Sorry.
Arvind, would you like to add anything?
Yeah, nothing to add. Like, pretty much everything got covered. Yeah, and there was a chance for us to get into Q3. That was the surprise of today was Russell getting that P11 position and getting a free tire choice as well. So, yeah, nothing much to add.
Right. Aniket, go ahead.
Surprising thing about Alfa Romeos were the difference between Gio and Kimi. Kimi was 0.4 seconds slower than Giovinazzi, because this can't happen. This is a very different thing. I know they are up to par with each other, but out qualifying Kimi by 0.4 seconds, that's unbelievable. That only could lead to one thing, because setup changes. Because Kimi may have set up his car to the race pace, and Gio could have set his car to the qualifying pace. And also, we have to consider that Kimi has new sets of soft available to him. That could be that can come into play in the race when we get a safety car at the end stage or so. That we should watch on tomorrow's race.
Right. But actually pointing out actually something to observe here is that the Alpine car of Alonso. Now, Giovinazzi put in 119.216, and Fernando Alonso was about two-tenths of a second behind him. Now, that's a kind of a statement putting it out there, because last year,
the Ferrari engine was quite slow on the straights, especially compared to the Renault and compared to the top three of the midfield. That's McLaren, Racing Point, and Renault.
Honda.
So Giovinazzi actually putting in a lap that's quicker than Alonso, while Alonso had a great practice session. So what do we get out of that? Was the engine a setback this year for Alpine? Because they looked that they're quite struggling down there with the Alfa Tauris and with the Alfa Romeos. Or or is Alonso, you know, not up
he's still
to
adjusting the, to his, not up yes, to the, he's still adjusting to his the car. Because if we see Ocon's performance putting in P6, P5, then in the last Q3, he has been at P6, I guess, right? P6 or P5? P5.
Yes, so, yes.
So Ocon is having Ocon don't have to adjust to this Alpine new, but Alonso is still adjusting to his car, and as same thing we can say about Daniel Ricciardo, because as we see Norris got into Q3, even if he was saying he is not sure that he will go into Q3, but Norris went into Q3. Also, same thing happened with Vettel. But this happened in opposite way. So I think we can easily say that new drivers are adjusting with their machine.
Right.
But surprising in that is the Ferrari. What happened at Ferrari?
Right. Just a point to note, actually, with these new circuits coming into play, would you rely on old? I wouldn't say old, but would you rely on experience, or would you rely on the actual youth that's actually coming up through the Formula 3 and Formula 2, because they know something, they're up to their toes, and you know they're keeping up with the latest trends. While the experience, if you count on the experience, they have to relearn everything to get accustomed to the new norms. So, Arvind, any thoughts on that?
Yeah, definitely there are, like, if you consider Fernando, he's a world-class driver. Of course, he can adapt to situations and do. But thinking about the fact that even Renault has an driver academy and there are, like, a bunch of F2 and F3 races ready for them, bringing him in says a lot about where Renault wants to go. Like, they see their future in the top step of the podium. They have also mentioned that they brought in Fernando so that he brings in more knowledge to the team in terms of technical knowledge, which could help them to improve their performance as well. And also, like, something why Alpines were both Alpines were struggling is because in the beginning, since testing was they had some wind tunnel issues. Back in the factory, and this weekend they seem to have solved those issues, which is why you can see an improvement in their performance. Ocon P6, Fernando yet to get a hold of his new Alpine. He's still not yet there. I guess by the mid season he'll be on his top form with that Alpine.
Yeah, I totally agree. I totally second that. Great. Moving on to Q3. Well, obviously, Sebastian Vettel, the spotlight was entirely on him because we've seen him there after a long, long time. So, Tane, what are your thoughts on Vettel?
I like Vettel as a driver, and it was, I think I was happy to see him into Q3 after a long time. Forgetting all about the Ferrari past and continuing with what is ahead of him. He's getting old. He's not many years left for driving. So, I think, gather all of his, courage, and just go for it. Also, I think Aston Martin are developing their car. Let's not focus on the off-track scandals, saying that Otmar will sue the FIA and other things. I think Aston Martin will develop as a car by the end of the season. They'll have a pretty good car mid-season, and I think then Vettel can challenge for further. I'm not saying podiums or wins. I'm saying a little further up in the Q3, top 5, top 6 for me.
Yeah, I mean,
I think we lost Tanit. Tanit, are you with us?
Yes, yes.
Okay, great. So, yeah, Aniket, go ahead.
Yeah, because everyone says that everyone is a Sebastian Vettel fan, even if they say they are not, they are Seb Vettel's fan. Because Seb Vettel has been a very great personality and he has committed to the Aston Martin project. He will be there for the long term. We know that he has a 2-year contract because after this year, the second in the rules and regulations will change in next year. The next year will be all new, different car according to the car philosophy and the car aerodynamics and format for the racing. But he need to learn, quickly adapt to the new youth because Lance Stroll, as we say, because even if he's criticized by the media or the social media, like he's a rich kid and got the seat because his dad has bought him team. But Lance Stroll is seriously a very good driver. And he has been developing from this, this is his 4th year in F1. So we need to also consider Lance Stroll and Seb Vettel, his experience and youth. And Lance Stroll is very good character because he learns, he keeps calm and he's very dedicated to his work. The Aston Martin, and also with the backing of money, because this team has been struggling a lot since 2018. And now they have got the resources to work with. This team was punching above its weight from the go-on, means from the Jordan days. And we need to look for this team in the future, in 2023.
I totally agree that, but actually I have one point that that makes me think differently. Was when we saw the Racing Point last year and everyone called it the pink Mercedes, the Aston Martin this year isn't the same pink Mercedes that we saw last year, and it's quite inconsistent as compared to the last year's Racing Point. Now, one of the reasons is mainly because the tokens that were given to teams to spend, the development tokens, Aston Martin definitely spent it on the chassis. So the car looks different. Obviously, as promised by Lawrence Stroll and even by the team principal, that Aston Martin are looking at probably a P3 in the constructors in the next 2-3 years. But the way they're set off to a start this year has proved to be very inconsistent. So do you really think, given the trajectory right now, given I totally agree that they have an excellent lineup of youth and experience and could be a truly given asset, but do they really have the car to put up to that pairing to actually be there in P3 or P2, winning a championship? Mihir, what do you think?
I think that they won't focus more for this year. Their real goals would be for next year. Like Sebastian has just joined the team. He has got lots of experience, but he won't be able to give that much of result right from the first season. He will get more and more comfortable with the car, with the team, with the new PU of Mercedes. So it will take a bit of time. And so I think team would be more focusing and should more expect from the team and drivers to give performance in next year.
Right. I totally second that. Moving on to actually to see the Ferraris both in Q3 compared to the last race where Carlos Sainz was knocked out in P11. Arvind, back me up here. You know, Ferrari have always been the team to challenge the Mercedes. And in 2020, we expected Ferrari to come close and actually win the Drivers' Championship, but it set them back and they hit rock bottom that year. And they recovered quite a lot of speed and they improved the drag that they experienced last year. And now watching Carlos Sainz, beat his teammate or out-qualify his teammate, as you would say, is that, something Ferrari actually said that they don't have a number one driver. So is this kind of a scene that they were kind of interpret before the testing? Because because the whole media and all the social media were saying that Charles Leclerc and, you know, the Ferrari team is built around him. But today we clearly saw the science out-qualified him. So what does that situation suggest on the team?
Yeah, compared to last year, obviously they've had massive improvements this year. We could see that from the very first race, Bahrain, where they struggled last year, and this year they were like spot on. They have improved. Everybody says that the car is built around Charles, and of course it because he stayed in the team for 2 years compared to Carlos, it will obviously be built around him. And everybody didn't expect Carlos to be there, out-qualify him, in the very third race. Obviously, they would have expected him. The expectations would have been, by mid-season, he would out-qualify him here, one or two races. But in my opinion, Carlos Sainz is also one of the underrated drivers. Like, he doesn't get much credit for what he's doing. He's been more of a Sunday guy, a Saturday guy. And, today he just showed it that he's not a Sunday driver anymore. He just out-qualified a really good, very talented driver on the grid, I would say. And that should give him confidence going on. It is a good news for Ferrari. Since they are battling with McLaren for the beat, the Constructors' Championship, this is a good thing because they are fighting each other. Unless and until they are out of trouble, it is good for Ferrari.
Great, great, great to hear that. And actually, Arif, I'd like to ask you actually, Red Bull in their Q3 went out on the sauce, if I'm not mistaken, and Mercedes chose the mediums. So do you think a bit of a tyre strategy would have helped Red Bull Racing? Because initially at the start of the race, Red Bulls were favorite to take pole and win the race this Sunday. So do you think it could have been the tyre strategy, or did Mercedes actually prove that they were better in the last moment?
I guess both. Even if you see last year, the fastest lap was set on Q2 by Mercedes on medium tyres. Mercedes are functioning well with those medium tyres. And this is also a tricky track. And one reason I feel, it's my opinion, that I feel was Red Bull not being on pole is that Max got his time deleted when he set the first lap on Q3, for Q3, and he was on softs. Even Christian Horner was very confident that Red Bull were performing well on the softs. And when he actually set the lap, first lap on Q3, he went off on turn 4. He crossed the track limits, which costed him that lap. But even he had a bit of jiggle in turn 4. But he, in spite of that, still if you look at his time, it was faster than Valtteri Bottas' time. So I guess Red Bull were there. They were the fastest, but it was unfortunate for Max to get his time deleted. And of course, Mercedes, they worked really well with the medium tyres and pulled it off. And
right. Aniket, go ahead.
So what happened was, if we see sector timing, because when we observed the FP2 data, which was similar conditions to the qualifying, what happened was Mercedes was always quicker in sector 2, and it was always up to par with Red Bull in sector 1 or sector 3. Or because in every lap, the soft tires were not lasting that much. I mean, if we see, the Max used to take purple 1 sector, purple 2 sector, and he used to set the yellow sector in sector 3. So I think what happened was Mercedes just outsmarted them by using the medium compound, because every team we have seen, they were not able to hold their tires for the full lap of the circuit. So this surprise means whatever happened in this qualifying shenanigans, that can be depending on the tires, how the cars work their tires. Because if surprising thing was McLaren was not the fastest from the midfielder, that could have been because of this same tire, how this team or how the car fires up the tire and uses their tire. That's why I think the Ferrari was able to get up to the back of Red Bull, and also the Alpine is Renault. They were able to get up to in Q3 at a higher position, and McLaren were not.
Right. Arif, actually, I'd like to come to you because when talking about the Mercedes, quite an eye-opener for Bottas to actually out-qualify Lewis Hamilton. While actually Bottas felt quite uncomfortable in his car given the crash last race. And his engineers actually reported that he felt a bit uncomfortable. But actually out qualifying his teammate there, what are your thoughts on that?
It's maybe Bottas 4.0 is back, or I don't know. Because sometimes he was 2.2, 3.0, Bottas 4.2 is back. But yeah, I think it's better that not that Bottas came very strong. Yes, he came very strong. We can agree on that. But even Hamilton was not up to his mark. And if you will see his Q3, if you see the laps on the Q3, he was making a few mistakes. And like we all know that on the second in the Q3, because of the high wind, none of the drivers were able to improve their time. And when the first 15, Hamilton made a few mistakes on turn 4, I think so. But that cost him time, and that was where Bottas marked him up and jumped him up and got the pole. So it's not that Bottas is too much powerful. We all know that. It's the Hamilton. It's going to be Hamilton always. But yeah, sometimes Hamilton makes mistakes, and that's where Bottas takes up. That's why Bottas took up the pole this year. I think so.
Right. So actually, agreeing with you, and moving on to the predictions. So we'll keep the predictions a bit different. Instead of predicting your top three, we'd keep it a bit unorthodox. So I'd like to ask all of y'all, who would actually take the win tomorrow, and who would be the driver of the day? So Tane, why don't you go first, and followed by all of y'all can answer.
For me, I'll go for Bottas for the win. I think he's starting on pole. It should be, I think, I will not say easy, but I'll say fairly bit easy for him to doesn't put his shenanigans in way. And for that, I think I'll do Ocon.
I'm sorry, I didn't get the last name.
Ocon, Esteban Ocon for the driver of the day.
Okay, great. Mihir, go next.
Okay, so I think Lewis is going to win tomorrow. He is P2, but he has got a lot of pace today. Also in quali, I think he would be able to snatch the pole. It's just that in his final run in Q3, like every driver was affected with wind. And he had all the sectors yellow. So that's a bit unusual. So I think he has got the pace, and he will be able to make the win. And for driver of the day, I think it will be Daniel Ricciardo. Like, he's starting from back, and he will have a great rest. He will make many overtakes, and let's see what tomorrow brings.
Great. Aniket, go next. Aniket.
Hello. I was on mute, sorry. So, Lewis for the win. Second will be Max, and Bottas maybe third. If he keeps out of trouble and Perez doesn't make a move on him. And I think driver of the day will be Carlos Sainz, because he's a Sunday guy. And he will hold that position or make some positions. I think he will go ahead of Ocon or try to get one of the Red Bulls.
Great, great. Arif.
Hamilton is going to win, no doubt. No doubt for that. But I think when it comes to driver of the day, I will go with Sebastian Vettel. I have an instinct that he now, like after a long time, he's feeling good with the car. The weekend was not that great for him, but the quali was that great. So, quali was good, too good for him. So, I think for me, driver will be Sebastian Vettel.
Awesome. Arvind?
Yeah, I want Valtteri to win. So that we can have a more tight fight for the title between Valtteri, Max, and Lewis. And I'm going to go with Fernando.
Yeah. Great. Awesome. Yeah, this is the end of the Quali podcast, but we have a special extra for you covering the sprint race that just was actually announced by the FIA for Formula One. And actually, guys, what are your thoughts? Because I'll just give you a brief before getting back to y'all, that the sprint race is actually sets the grid for the race day. And the quali has held before for the sprint race. So it's actually going to be hosted in Silverstone, as we know. So what are your thoughts, guys? Yeah, Tane, why don't you go first? Oh, go ahead, Arvind, go ahead.
Obviously, it is going to be good. Like, in layman language, we can say that it is the T20 of Formula One. There'll be points only for top three. But there's nothing wrong in trying out something new. Top three, if there is a title fight at the end of the year, and if Max or Lewis wins by 3 or 2 points, then it is going to be really helpful. So I feel it's we can stay open-minded and just have it right.
Right. Tane?
I think it's a good initiative by the FIA. I think their main motive is to bring new fans. I think a lot of American fans, or in general, all over worldwide fans to new Formula One. And I think, drivers are also like... drivers also like less practice sessions. So by this, drivers will get less practice session, only one on Friday or only one on Saturday, plus qualifying on Friday and then sprint race on Saturday, which sets the grid for Sunday. So less qualifying, more entertaining. And as Arvind said, the T20 of Formula One, I think it will greatly help Formula One its popularity, and it will be more enjoyable to watch Formula One.
Great, great. Would anyone like to add anything else?
Yeah, I would like to add that just the three. Yeah.
Can I add something?
So,
yeah, go ahead, Arif.
So, as Arvind said, it's the T20 of the Formula One. It's the perfect T20 of the Formula One. We know that there are going to be 100 kilometers of race. And Silverstone is something about 5.4 kilometers circuit, as far as you know. So we are going to have like 19 to 20 laps, something around there. So that window is just great. But like if it had been like below 17 or 16, everyone will go on the soft tires. Or if it had been something around like 23, 25, we all will go for the medium tires. But the window, that will create lots of charge and lots of different strategies on the grid. Like you might see some guy going on the soft, we might see some guy going on the mediums, and this will create lots of interesting situation within the race. So I am very up for this weekend. I am very up for the sprint race. That's it.
Hey, thanks, great. Brandon, for the chance to speak. Just to add a few things on the sprint race. You know, it's a new initiative from the Formula One. They're trying to be innovative at this point. You know, sprint race has been a regular feature in Formula Two, and it has been very exciting henceforth. Just to add, what new things it brings into the race is the finishing position of the drivers in the sprint race will be the starting position for the Sunday's main race. So, for example, if somebody from the Alpha or the Williams is able to finish in the top five for the sprint race, they'll be on the second and third row for the Sunday race. You know, it would just be very much fun day for the Sunday race. Moreover, I think there will be no tire selection also for starting the race if sprint race comes as a qualifying. So these are quite a few spectacle points to be noted in the sprint race. Of course, we'll get more technical details as the season goes ahead and the next season to come through. So yeah, it's quite a good initiative from Formula One. That's my perspective to it.
Hello. Only thing I would like to add is if they means they said like top 10 finishers from the sprint race will be set to get to start the race like as they finished on the Saturday. But moreover, if we have seen the Formula 3, Asian F3, which was going on, so what would have happened in that race? In race 2, when someone from top 3 sets the fastest lap, he would get a pole to the next, means race 3. That could have, means FIA could use the strategy, means top 10 finishers, whichever set the fastest lap in the top 10, will get the pole in the next, for the Sunday's race. That would have been better.
Right. And that's a wrap, guys. Thank you so much for taking out time and, having a listen to us as we continue to contribute and spread the awareness across the country of the sport, because we feel that people are not aware and we want to get much more people into the motorsport industry. You can follow us on our website, that's f1india.in, or even on our Instagram page at f1india community. Thank you so much, guys, and thank you for having a listen to us as we come to you tomorrow next with our race day podcast. Thank you.